First of Chronicles, chapter 9. Well, this is going through the tribe of Judah, and verse 5 of the Shilonites. Now, this is not related to the town of Shiloh, but to the descendants of Shelah. These are the descendants of Shelah. And if you go back to Genesis 38, you'll see where Shelah came from. Judah, the son of Jacob, Judah, he has a relationship with a Canaanite woman called Shuah. Now, of course, Israel are told not to have relationships with the Canaanites. And he has two sons by her, Ur and Onan, who are both killed by God because they're so wicked. And he has this other one called Shuah. And the record just says in Genesis 38, verse 4, that this Shelah was born when Shuah, his mother, this Canaanite woman, was at Kizib. And he, that is Judah, was at Kizib when she bore him. Now, Kizib means falsehood. So Judah was at falsehood when his Canaanite-esque woman bore him this son called Shelah. Well, you may think that's a pretty shaky start, and the other two sons were killed because they were wicked. And yet this Shelah survived, and he has a son called Asahiah, which has the Yahweh name in it. Well, what are we to make of that? I think it shows that people from the most shadiest of beginnings can still make good. This is the power of the Spirit. We are a new creation in Christ, and old things pass away and all things become new. There are some people who appear to have so much in their background that's so bad, that's so negative. You think, well, how can they ever make it through spiritually? Well, they can, and they do. But this is because of the work of the Spirit. It's like we mentioned on chapter 8 about the background of Saul being so unspiritual. But the Spirit came upon him, gave him another heart, made him what is called another man, and God transformed him. Now, okay, he didn't want to keep up that transformation, didn't want to walk in step with the Spirit in the end. But this is what God is able to do. So don't blame your background. Nobody is inevitably going to be unspiritual or sinful because of the stable they came from. No, God changes things. And likewise it is that if people come from a good background spiritually, that doesn't mean that they're going to be good either, spiritually. They may share the same religion as their parents and ancestors, but spirituality is not genetic. Religion may be, but spirituality isn't. Because we must each forge our own personal relationship with God. And this leads me on to something else, that you see here that Judah and his line through his son Shelah was hardly ethnically pure because the mother of Shelah was from Canaan. And the more you look at these genealogies, the more you see Gentile blood in the tribes that made up Israel and Judah right from the beginning. And then you think of various later cases like Ruth and others, Rahab, who come in, as it were, from outside. It is therefore absolutely mythical to argue that the Israelite people were, as it were, ethnically pure. This is not at all the case, and I think the genealogies show us that that wasn't the case. As I say, you take Shelah. Well, his mother was a Canaanitess. You look at where the patriarchs came from. No, I mean, the servant girls of Laban, etc. You think of how Ephraim and Manasseh, who were, of course, the sons of Joseph, not the sons of Jacob, Ephraim and Manasseh were half Egyptian right from the start. So the argument of ethnic genetic purity for the group of people known as Israelites or Jews is very, very weak. Go to Israel today and look at the huge range of folks who self-identify as Israeli or Jewish. There's black folks who clearly came from Africa. There's blonde, blue-eyed Scandinavian types. All kind of folks who are identifying as Jewish. And that is, in fact, how it's always been. That there was no such thing really as being ethnically pure. Take small nations like Latvia or Latvian people or Lithuanians or whatever. Those folks are far more ethnically pure than are the people who identify as Jews today. Those, quote, Jews have been full of intermarriage all throughout their biblical history, all throughout their secular history since Bible times, intermarriage with Gentiles, I mean. And so it just shows that the composition of God's people has in fact never really been genetic. That is a very poor argument. And so it is with God's spiritual people. With the development of denominations, there's arisen over the generations a position where somebody can say, look, I'm fourth, fifth generation, Baptist, Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Christadelphian, whatever it might be. And indeed, that may be how it is, but spirituality is not genetic and can't be in that sense inherited. All parents can do is to show their children the way, but God wants to build personal relationships with people. And therefore, a lot of those folks who are multi-generational in some particular denomination or other will find that they really are severely tested by God to bring about their personal connection with him and with Jesus. And all the scaffolding at times is sometimes removed from those sort of folks so that they do not coast along in their denominationalism. It may be that something happens. Could be that due to relocation or something happens in life that they're relocated where their denomination doesn't exist. It could be that they genuinely come to disagree with the denomination on one relatively small point, so they are either chucked out or they feel themselves a shadow has come betwixt them and the denomination. Could be their kids go wrong in some form or another, or their children influence them to think otherwise. Their son may marry somebody from another denomination. Could be that they're caught up in a scandal that they were totally innocent of, get falsely accused, get chucked out of the denomination, get named and shamed over something they totally never did. All sorts of things happen, or maybe their local area, just the churches in that denomination, in that geographical area, just dwindle to nothing for some reason. All these things happen. And in the bigger picture, it is so that individuals might come to believe personally in Jesus without the structure of religion. And as I say, going back to our genealogy here in 1 Chronicles 9, as I say, you can see how the people of God, Israel, Judah, were never ethnically pure. It was not hereditary. And so it must be, I think, with all those who feel that they're, you know, whatever, fourth, fifth generation in their particular denomination. Yeah, it can all feel very cozy on a sort of sociological level, but personal relationship with God can never be like that because it's personal relationship.